Into the Nexus is a production of amove.tv. Bookmark amove.tv for other great video games and esports podcasts. Into the Nexus is sponsored by listeners like you via patreon.com/ITN. Greetings and welcome back, everyone. This is Into the Nexus, the podcast all about Heroes of the Storm. I'm Garrett Weinzerl, here as always with Kyle Ferguson. We just had a lovely pre-show where we talked about your son's love for cars, and I'm still just reeling with wholesomeness.
Oh, that's good. This is a Heroes of the Storm show. I work very hard, Garrett. I work very hard to control the parental aspects of my current being.
I open the door, dude. Walk through.
Well, we walked through the door this week of Duo Q.
Listen. I'm already at odds with your analogy, sir. I'm already at odds. Maybe we did. But what I was expecting as a fun club environment where maybe a dance off would happen and I would win one, and then maybe my opponent would win one, and then I would win another, and another, and another. Instead, I got the rowdy bar from the original Blues Brothers with chicken wire, got my ass kicked, and I was thrown right back out that door.
Well, to be fair, in sports movies and everything else, it doesn't show the next season where they start to lose again, or they lose a player, or the meta changes. Like, it's not fair. When you quit when you're ahead, Mighty Ducks just won forever. But they have whole lives. Those are children. They got whole lives ahead of them to lose. Lose games.
All right, we're losing the child wholesomeness real quick here. Okay, cool. My very dark brain immediately went to like permanent football injuries. So I'm going to.
No, they're just going to lose games. Like, it's part of life. It's hockey, so it's a little more violent, I guess, but it's fine. It's just the puck's gonna go in the net and it's gonna ding and the enemy team's gonna celebrate, and their hardships as the Mighty Ducks have only just begun. Because now they're the team to beat.
Yes, you are correct. Well, we had just a bad experience. We had a really bad session. It was terrible.
But let's talk about that a little bit, because I think this experience is shared across a grand majority of the player base right now, because we are in very interesting Heroes of the Storm times. We've been in this meta for a long while, and it is defined and put in all sorts of little cubbies, which are very different from each other. So when we played together, we both went to our plat accounts where, we were on the edge of plat one. We even were.
I'll stop you there and say, I went to my account.
Okay, yes. And I went to my plat account, but together we hadn't played in that ranked environment for so long that we were at the 500 points. So we're sitting there at like plat two thinking, here comes Diamond. We're gonna wreck this. We know so much. We've done so much studying. We're all up on our Sonyas.
Our good heroes are hot shit right now. The heroes we like are in vogue.
Mm-hmm.
And you said everyone's having the experience. I guess, what do you define as, quote unquote, the experience? Because for me, the experience is I have absolutely no understanding at all of what to expect from my rando teammates in terms of the draft.
Right.
I can depend on no one to do anything sensible.
When you're solo queue, I think that's the mentality. And it's a little easier to go with the flow. Like, Tormented Souls Malthiel stands out as a big example to me. If I'm solo queue, I see Tormented Souls Malthiel, I might be like, okay, so the fights are a little slower. This isn't what I expected. How can I help this out? How am I going to engage different because we now have a slower fight? But when you get in a duo and you're thinking, Garrett Sonya, I'm Cassia, like, this will be executed in this way, and the leap will go, and I'll do the fend and the damage, and the enemy will disappear. And then to that equation, you start factoring last rites Malthiel, because you would assume that this man would unleash the beast in the proper direction, and they decide not to. And that's really where our meta is butting heads with the way people play. Like, yesterday we had a Q-Build Zeratul. Nothing wrong with that on paper. Nothing wrong with Q-Build Zeratul. You know, it's going to do damage. It's way easier. Yeah, you got to get to 20 in Shadow Mending, but that ain't such a big deal. It's very, very easy to play. However, what we didn't factor in was how much Zeratul really, really, really wanted to hit multiple people over and over again. Now, granted, Void Slash at 16, so even before 16, if Cleave hits more than one enemy hero, it deals 40% increased damage and its cooldown is reduced by 3 seconds. Mm. So what we basically had was a Zeratul who spun on the front line and then disengaged until he had another spin with a Kel'Thuzad. And wasn't it an Ahn on the enemy team as well as a Vala or something like that? Like, there was a squishy, squishy backline, but Zeratul only ever spun on the front. Like, that's the bizarreness and the permanency, the concreteness of our current meta, is that we see good characters and we expect them to do certain things and then they don't, so you lose. Or there are very, very powerful characters, but the enemy gets more of the five top than you get and you lose. And it's a tough place to be high game knowledge in. It's a tilting environment.
Yeah, yeah. Because from my perspective, that's all well and good that, like, it was stuff we weren't expecting. But I look at it, and this is exploratory. This is not me, like, ragging on one person in particular. Zeratul, Annoyed Moon. I saw worse.
It's a great example. Yeah. They're both Souls Malfeel and Q-Build Zeratul is a great example.
Yeah, yeah. I like, to me, and so let's explore my thought process. And is it help? It's probably not helpful, but is it also just wrong or does it make sense? Because I go, well, it's fine that it's not what we expected, but to me, I go, well, it doesn't matter because we had someone just bringing nothing valuable to a team fight. It's not that it wasn't what we expected. It's that it was a non-player in our fights. It was not a factor. The enemy team didn't care that Zeratul is getting 40% more damage on the targets Zeratul has no business attacking.
Right. And when you see a 1v1 between Malfiel and Arthas and he pops Tormented Souls, your brain kind of goes, this this could be over. There's a problem here. And we all expected a certain thing. And these expectations go in the other direction as well. Like, we met a Mei yesterday who believed she was invincible. And yes, it took her 15 to 20 seconds to die, perhaps. But when you're top lane and the rest of the team's bottom, we're not going to interact by the time you die. And your longevity in that situation did not increase our chances to win. But the perspective was so fortified that it was everybody else's fault.
Yeah, that was early, too, so I had other issues with that game. But also, that's just kind of my experience with Plat Mays in general. They all play like that.
It's a popular hero.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why. The win rate is good. Like, I get what you're looking at, and I understand the conclusions that players are arriving at, but I don't understand. I really don't get Mei, man. I don't understand the purpose of her. I don't feel good with a Mei on my team. It just feels like a ETC that dies slower that doesn't bring Mosh Pit.
Well, she does. It's just very much dependent on the Mei's skills. And that's where, you know, and that's where I think the perspective comes in. Like, Mei is amazing at diving, surviving, and using a thing like Blizzard and Icing to perform a combination, which isn't easy to do, to get them inside the Blizzard you dropped. And then you can survive, you know, the weather of maybe some tower shots or the whole enemy team being on top of you while you've isolated this one character out. And that becomes more powerful with Ice Wall, because now you can do it even faster and have a more reliable follow-up. But you're combining abilities. And what your lower league Mays are going to do is Blizzard the wave for lane clear, or because it looks nice, and then they will icing dive in, pop their cryo freeze, take a bunch of damage, live for a very long time. But they assume that whatever they just did in booping people around slightly and surviving was enough. It's a very World of Warcraft way of playing a PvP game.
Yeah. Yeah, I just like I said, I don't know. Like I'm changing my address to Saltwall Boulevard this week. I've moved in. That's where I live at the moment. And May, I think more than anything else, is the target of my ire, because everything else we talked about, the mouth ill didn't go the way that we expect, the Zeratul didn't go the way that we expect, the Butcher that didn't play the way we expected. They're so, like, I just didn't, there's no trend there. These are just weird picks that didn't fit in, and I don't know why they were drafted, but they were one-offs and random occasions. The May is the trend that I notice in Plat, is that May gets picked a lot, and in my experience, is extremely inconsequential to the way the game gets played out.
Well, and think about, like, Blind, too. Like, the primary reason or way you use Blind right now is to stop auto-attack Diablos, which is failing or falling in popularity. You know, still, people are going more towards W and Flame Stomp builds, which is leading to more Lightning Breaths and less Apox and all that sort of business.
All I know is, but I'd rather have a Diablo than May right now, and that is a journey I've been on.
That is true. Diablo is still doing fine. It's just that our targets for who we're blinding in this particular meta have changed, and the way you play May is very, very busy. So the fact that it's a lot like the bronze Li Ming kind of problem. In bronze, Li Ming has a 27% win rate. But you fire bolts and orbs and it feels good. It looks good. And the feedback by game design is there and telling the players they're awesome. So it's a fascinating aspect of game design. But I've got a very special level of talent. I think that's why I may have been so easygoing yesterday in our duo games, because I experienced a greater amount of tilt than I did with you earlier in this week.
What happened?
I had two streamers in my game, and they are MOBA streamers, but they visit Heroes of the Storm occasionally. So they are in my game, and the first one snap picks an Illidan. And I'm like, okay, fine. I know you love Illidan. We can make this work. And I pick up a Sonya. What am I doing? What kind of madness is this? Well, it's going to be triple frontline. That's how we do this right now. You know, I'll take a lane, you take a lane. We'll do camps. You know, we'll own the map. And then we'll have enough noise in the frontline that Illidan's part of this noise. So we get a variant on top of that. And I'm like, going well. Everyone's on board with what this meta is. And the second streamer freezes. I don't know how to fix this, they say in draft. This is broken. What a bad draft this is. And they pick Zarya. And that was particularly bizarre to me and really showcased just how weird this meta is. We find ourselves with triple bruiser or triple frontline kind of business going on. We are accustomed to it as consistent Heroes of the Storm players, but people who return come back occasionally are completely out of the loop. So more casual players, or at least people who play the game occasionally, are pissed as hell at the hardcores, and the hardcores are pissed as hell at the casuals, because things are so defined and they don't know it.
Gotcha. That would infuriate me.
It's a pretty wild situation. And like, we've been through situations too where we have these hybrid heroes become elevated, like Cassia. And there are arguments that break out when you get a Kael'thas and a Cassia, as weird as that is. And one person only ever sees a Thunderstroke build, so they only see bolts flying through the air. So they're like, Cassia's a mage. We can't do double mage. But you're like, no, Cassia's great. It doesn't matter, because this damage throughput is just going to be amazing. So it's all intertwined, and our community is mad at itself. What a bizarre thing.
I don't know where to I mean, it has always come back to just look inward, but we've been looking at the same inward for so long that I'm bored and I want to look at anything else.
That's fair.
So, like, but I try and look at anything else. I try to make sense of any of the other factors, and it's just nonsensical. It is just random and disappointing.
Well, and that's why looking inward is way more valuable when you're participating in something like Heroes Lounge or NGS for a game like this. It's like playing Valheim or Minecraft. I'm sure there's people who play those games completely by themselves and just enjoy the joy of making their volcano fortress. But for me, like, there's really no point in playing one of those games unless someone's going to come in my world and tell me how awesome I am or how great it looks.
Yeah, any type of game where you're building like that, right? Like, what's the point? Other than for your own joy, right? Which is fine.
Yeah.
But to me, yeah, that is a major, major drive to go and interact with something like that.
So, you know, and I certainly enjoy the aspect of, you know, random people that I do not know suffering the power of my hogger. But at the end, I know that I'm working on my bad Sonya to make her better for my friends when we hang out and when we play. And by the way, that second article of Tilt today, which came before you and I played, again, leading to that insanity and laughter that I just had in the face of your tilt. I am struggling with an aspect of Sonya, and it really irks me because both her ults are viable, which means every time you lose a game, everyone wants to talk about how Wrath would have been better, or that was a leap game, or and just back and forth, and oh, it's exhausting.
Is this happening in your team games?
It's happening, not in my NGS stuff, but in streams, in the comms, in the chat of the game. Everybody has an opinion on what sort of game it should have been for the Sonya.
Well, to your chat rumors,
Sonya's fault you lost.
To your chat rumors, I would ask, please stop. It's annoying. to everyone else, I mean, everyone's got
It's an interesting conversation, but like, it made me realize how nice it is to have really binary heroics sometimes. Like, just no question, X is the best one, and there's this really bizarre situation where you take the other one.
I see it, especially after we talked with Tom Peace. I see it as pretty binary on which one you go with, but I would also say I agree with you. I agree with you. It's very relaxing when there's like one build and I don't need to worry, right? There's not a social pressure.
You don't have to haunt yourself at night about your...
Exactly, exactly. That being said, that's probably also how you end up with a zero tool that goes the same build every game, even when there's a backline that really needs to be focused.
Sure, absolutely.
So there's dangers, there's mental dangers there as well. But pick the Sonya next time and shut up otherwise.
It's a hurdle, man. It's a hurdle. You know, and these are the sort of things that I do full stops on. Like, you know, you want to know why I'm not in the cars? Because I got my first car in high school, showed up, leaned against it. I was so proud, Garrett. So proud. First question my friend asks, why didn't you get this other car?
Kyle.
Why that one?
Kyle.
And it hurt.
How in God's name do you talk about video games for a living?
Because you pick cars? What? Wait, continue.
Well, you should have went Leap. B, going back to 90s, you should have went Super Nintendo instead of Sega Genesis. and then going back to preschool, clearly Michelangelo is cooler than Donatello.
Wow. Ouch.
Transformers are better than GoBots. What, like, I can keep going.
I mean, some of those are true.
I mean, Transformers are cooler than GoBots. That's yeah, a fact. That's just a fact of life.
Yeah.
But I will go to my grave yelling Donatello is the best Ninja Turtle. And don't fight me because I don't care.
Wait, Donatello's the best Ninja Turtle? Yeah.
I love Donatello.
He made a blimp. He made a turtle blimp. He invented it.
Has
in
nothing
the
to do with the fact, Kyle. Has nothing to do with the fact that it was the first action figure I ever got was a Donatello. I definitely am not emotionally attached in any way.
Was it one of the squishy ones, like from after the movie, where it kind of had like the real texture?
I moved on. I'm talking about Leap now, Kyle. I'm emotionally attached to the Leap because it was the first time I felt like a badass on Sonya.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah. 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 No, man, Sonya, playing Sonya is like my favorite cheesy bumper sticker for a race car. Sit down, shut up, and hang on. That's what I say to anyone else when I pick Sonya.
It's often the right way to play.
I don't want your opinion. I've got this. I will build my Sonya based on how much I trust you is really what it comes down to. So if you want my Sonya played a different way, you need to play better.
Very fair.
I have a lot of opinions this week, Kyle. I have a lot of opinions.
Do you want me to ride that? Well, we've also got opinions about our patrons over at patreon.com.
Oh, look at you. Oh, you wonderful, wonderful person. Yes, that they're wonderful and they always build their Zeratul the right way.
It wasn't about the build, Gary. It was about the targeting.
The build definitely influenced the targeting.
I would prefer if they were bad. Yes, but it's an easy build. I don't blame them for doing it. I wouldn't blame our patrons for doing it either.
Yeah. yeah, check it out. Patreon.com/ITN. You'll get access to our wonderful, wonderful Discord full of wonderful people that know who to target and how to build their heroes. You can also get an ad-free version of the show, so when we have ads, you won't hear them. You can also sign up for our monthly game nights, our patron bonanzas, as we like to call them. We will be doing one next week. So if you haven't already, go sign up, if I can talk. And to our most recent patrons, non-champion, you're a champion as far as I'm concerned, and Cody Sizemore, thank you very much for supporting us here at Into the Nexus. Just go to patreon.com/ITN. Really appreciate it. It's a opt-in way to support the show. We will not put it behind a paywall. I promise.
Wait, non-champion? I think their Genji killed my Kel'Thuzad like 10 times last night.
Ooh, you played Kel'Thuzad last night.
No. This was Coffee's Kel'Thuzad. Oh. Well played, non-champion.
All right. Well, I guess they felt really sorry about it and wanted to support you. also, before we move on, I did just want to make a note on the hot slog side of things. If you are someone with CSS experience and you are interested in how hot slogs works, we're looking for someone with CSS experience to help us add some features to hotslogs.com.
Ooh.
Yeah. So tweet at me at Garrett Art, or just go over to Hotslogs and use our bug report email to get in touch with us. There's also a public Hotslogs Discord, and it is linked on hotslogs.com, and our programming team is in there. So you can also at them in there and get in direct contact with our lead programmer. So go and let us know if you've got CSS experience and you want to work on Hotslogs. So other than that, getting into what's new in Heroes of the Storm this week, Kyle, we've got some new blue comments from D. Warner that say nothing we didn't already know and bring nothing new to learn.
Oof. Well, that's not true. He started a new meme.
That's fair. I mean, I guess that's technically something to learn, but it's not news about the game.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it in its entirety.
All right. Blizzard Warner commented saying, despite what random Reddit poster number 8962 might say, we're still here and still working on heroes, reworks, balance patches, skins, etc. We've always been tight-lipped about our releases, and that hasn't changed. That being said, my fellow Blues and I, and a celebrity cameo by Spazzo, have left quite a few tasty breadcrumbs as to what's coming next. As soon as we're ready to share this content with you all, we will. I would also like to remind people that the odds of random Reddit poster 8962 having a super secret insider scoop on our internal process is basically nil. It's unfortunate that these types of people spend their time trying to mislead and demoralize their fellow heroes enthusiasts, but that's just the reality of internet culture.
I like it.
I mean, yo, dunking on people for boldface lying, I'm all for. But that first paragraph where it's just like, we're still here, we're still working on heroes. It feels like this is on a copy-paste notepad at this point.
Yes. The tough part is the breadcrumbs are a little stale.
I am not questioning that there's still a team working on the game.
No,
that's confirmed. Something. I am questioning when the hell anything else is ever going to come.
Well, the end of the season is our assumption.
The end of the season is a lie and useless.
It's true. It does move sometimes.
It has always moved. It has never meant anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but
I understand there's like much angrier people, and there's also people just deliberately trying to mislead the community. I would like them to stop so we could get an answer to, hey, how regularly can we expect anything at all, including balance patches? Because we don't have an answer to that. And that's the question I wish everyone was asking for. And that's what I wish everyone was a little more hungry for and maybe a little more boisterous about it within the community. But instead, we're rallying around people who are bold-faced lying to us.
Well, okay. I'll avoid fatherhood here. Let's talk.
Why are you avoiding pet's not feeling father?
Well, hang on. Your pet's not feeling very well, Garrett. So you've got, let's say you've got a bit of tile in your kitchen.
Oh boy, where is this going?
The dog needs to barf. And for some awful reason, the dog maybe has sore paws and they're old, but they decide to barf on the carpet just 2 feet away from the tile.
As someone who has a very old Chihuahua that I worry about, this is very close to home.
Okay, so you pick them up maybe mid-hork and try to move them to the tile, but then they walk back onto the carpet and continue their horking. So you go and clean the hork up, but while you're cleaning that, they hork somewhere else, also carpeted. And so you end up in this constant cycle, and so maybe you just decide to leave the hork everywhere at the end of the day. And I think we have contributed to a frustration our developers that they can't do anything right or can't tell us anything right. So they're just going to leave the hork everywhere. And this is them being like, my dog is very sick. We're going to the vet. We're trying to fix our, listen, we told you about our issues. We're trying to keep it, you know, unpersonal, but I'm working all day to clean the hork and we're working with the vet to fix the dog, but we don't have answers right now. Please stop horking. I think BlizzD Warner is very frustrated, and rightfully so. And they bring up the fact that they've told us everything already, but we want more.
They haven't. All they've told us is things are coming. That's nice.
But when? We know there's no. Well, yeah, sure, but you know, we don't know what's wrong with the dog yet.
We know what's wrong with the dog. Activision's what's wrong with the dog, Kyle.
Well, maybe.
It's choking on Activision. I told it.
But then you're getting.
Katie, I said, don't get that Activision branded rawhide. It's bad for their digestive system.
I think we go even deeper there. Like maybe rawhide is what affected something like Warcraft 3. Like we are in the, like the breeder's the problem here. Like we got a purebred and it shouldn't have been done in this day and age.
Like, this is particularly hilarious too, because there's definitely like, hey, don't get those dog treats from China.
Oh, is that a thing? I don't
know. Yeah. That's a thing. It's been a long time since I've seen anything in the headlines about dog food processed in China killing dogs, but I know what happened like one time when I was working at a pet store in another life. It's a long thing. I'm getting sidetracked with the analogy here.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's bail on the analogy here.
Yeah. I understand the frustration.
Yeah, he's working on it all day. Like, he is sitting there tickety-tacking on the keyboard, and then he looks over at Reddit, who says he's not doing anything and working.
I want my expectations managed, I guess, is what I'm truly asking for.
The interesting thing of this post to me is whether or not capitalized heroes means Heroes of the Storm, the game, or Heroes is the official title of Heroes we're getting. Because you could read this, we're working on Heroes of the Storm, reworks, balance patches, skins, etc. Or you could read it as we're working on Heroes, reworks, balance patches, etc.
The capital H is, because
that's really the thing they've been cagey about, is whether or not they're working on new Heroes, which takes more support and more team to make, you know, 100% made Heroes.
Yeah. I'm fine if we're not. I don't care what the updates are. I just want updates. and I'm used to, we've talked about it before, but we used to have an idea. Like, something has clearly changed And to me, the messaging coming out of the team is nothing's changed. What are you all losing your minds about? It's like, it's been 2 friggin' months. That's when we're losing our minds. Like things have definitely changed.
I still like, I've just been busy. I still like you. Just been busy.
Have you moved?
Maybe, but
like, yeah, that's where I'm at. Like, it really just comes down to, we used to have a really good understanding of how regularly updates would hit. That is out the window. I have no idea anymore. I have no clue. And that's what's frustrating. And so when I see the same, no, yeah, we're still working. I'm like, that's nice. We know that.
I think quite a bit of this comes down to the magic of movies, and in the age of the internet, that can't really exist anymore. Like, something I've wanted for a long time is credits on the darn box for the voice actors who are being the main characters in this darn thing. Like, that is a lot. That's more work. You often hear, you know, doing something like a RPG open world experience is way more hours in a booth than you ever spend recording an actual movie.
So my retort is, I would like a PR rep from Blizzard to not ghost me when Heroes is mentioned in a request I send in.
Okay, that, you know, that's fair. The least good answer that we could get about this whole thing is that company policy is the one doing the influence. Like, that corporate machinations have clogged the gears so much that you're not allowed to work on Heroes when you have time. Instead, you must fold your hands and sit at your desk because you're not budgeted for that work. Like, that sort of thing deadlocks a company's creativity. And when you get to games, that's horrible. But we still have this, and you talk to people, and, you know, out there, and you might say, like, what do you do for a living? And you're like, oh, well, I do radio. And they're like, oh, I've never thought of that as a job. And you're like, there's a person. You drive your car, right? Yes. You listen to the person at the DJ. Yes. That's a job. Really? You're like, nobody does that for free.
I feel like we've lost a narrative.
I'm just saying that with the age of the internet, there is a caginess around intellectual property, creative things like movies and video games that continues this veil of mysticism. But really, hours need to be put in. People need to do the work to make the video game.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why they might still be cagey is this idea of video games are magic. But when you follow them week to week and you live as part of the video games ecosystem, that magic fades away. Like, the magic's still there for me for Hearthstone. I log in once every 2 months. All the elementals are gone. And I'm like, whoa, weird. Well, I lose 3 games in a row and quit again. Like, that's my experience. And I can see how someone has that experience with Heroes.
Well, they're still there, but you really need a tier 6 menu to make them work. So,
oh, it's awful. It's just, oh, I got the elemental, like, reduce your cost guy. And it just was just
You want boring. Those? You want that as Milhouse, but not to go elementals. You want it because his rerolls cost 2. And so it's free instead.
Oh,
hope everyone enjoyed this mini Battlegrounds strategy.
Big meta.
Yeah. Like I said, man, I don't know. I clearly I am coming across as miffed, which I am, but I'm not mad at the devs. I'm mad at the communication strategy, which it feels like there isn't one.
Right. And ultimately my answer is what could they say?
Yeah. Because, like, we're friends with some of the devs and some of the ex-devs. And, like, I'm not going to bug them. They're not going to give me an answer. B, that would be excruciatingly rude to ask. But when I see the same thing parroted in once a blue moon dev comments on Reddit and no reply from official channels when I inquire, it's really annoying. Like, I don't...
Well, the machine caught it up. It's kind of my point that I'm making here with all this kind of analogy for movies and whatnot. What I'm really saying is they don't know how. Nobody knows. Look at what's happening with something like Diablo 2 Resurrected. It's the same beats oh, Blizzard loves the community. They're supporting streamers. They're retweeting streamers playing the game. They're showcasing this. They're doing that. It's just part of the machine. And that machine will fade with time. Like, we games don't know how yet to be active past a point. Unless it's like World of Warcraft, which is an expansion kind of deal. And we're all very accustomed to that. And that's just sequels and another season of a TV show keeping a thing alive. And we know what it looks like when you give it to the community, because that's what happened with StarCraft, Brood War, and, you know, Warcraft 3. Like, and even the Dota and Steam kind of embraced that. And so they have constant skins and kind of content made outside of the thing. But Blizzard made a decision years ago, particularly around that Diablo 3, StarCraft 2 time, that they owned everything. And they don't know how to do that. They don't know how to make that engine go. Pat, to this point.
I guess I don't know. I guess my final thought is I don't know what you would expect from the community.
Yes.
I would expect being misled when no one is there to lead us.
I think that
we don't have a heading is really it.
Sure. It's something that might choose your battle here. Like, something that would frustrate hardcores is for D. Warner here to list all the breadcrumbs that have been left. And they go, well, we know all that. Tell me something I don't know. Or you don't list the breadcrumbs because you expect everybody to know them. But people who come by and read this particular breadcrumb post go, well, what were those breadcrumbs? But they're not that tasty. I don't even know what they are. I want to exit my office and go, oh, something smells good.
Well, that's what the teaser images are for. But. Yeah, I don't know. It feels it's just weird. Like, look at that. Like, I'm at this point because I feel like I'm being told nothing's changed when I go, all signs point to the contrary. So
they don't know how to talk to us is my answer.
Yeah.
We haven't invented that language.
It makes me think that AZ took on more of a forward facing role on his own, much the same way Brode did for Hearthstone and Kaplan did for Overwatch, and Heroes just lost their Brode. Heroes just lost their Kaplan.
I agree with you. I think as much fun as it is to meme, there were a lot of experiences that AZ Jackson had in very high level games that led him to continue to push that creativity in that envelope. Granted, we still don't know who the bounce designer is, but that was a labor of love, clearly. There was a lot of bonus effort put in to make that presence known. And it's frightening and it's scary. And no one should expect, you know, even coming from doing something like custom maps or sort of that basic kind of drag and drop. I'm not really sure how that sort of bound stuff works either. You know, entering numbers and thinking about it maybe on a piece of paper. But when you get to something like a hardcore programmer job, I don't really see a lot of personalities aligning with, and I'm also a public speaker and I can't wait to get in front of everybody. Please put me on stage.
That's a very good point. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even if you think you are, right? Like, it's a skill you have to hone.
Yeah. I mean, look at how someone like Brode transformed over the years. Like, their hair, like their glasses get nicer. Their shirts always become the same, which is kind of an interesting, like, they decide on a style and keep with it until the end. But, you know, you transform. Like, Twitch transforms you.
It does. It does. Yeah. I don't have a way to pull out of this, by the way. I think from now on, if there's blue comments and they're in our notes and it says something to the effect of, we're still working on it, I'm going to tell you Merry Christmas and whatever month it is. Is that how we can get through this?
Yes, okay. Sure.
So Merry Christmas in April, Kyle. It's almost May.
I know there must be some people out there that are just like, please talk about something else. But I find it fascinating that we are discovering this conversation as we go. And we are having this conversation alongside Blizzard because they don't know what to do. Like, we're not smacking them down and be like, no, that idea was bad. Because there isn't an idea. There isn't a new process or system that we're experiencing or a new way to communicate.
Correct. Yes. And so the official channel, it's like official channels are giving us nothing, and unofficial channels are also kind of really not giving us much to work with.
But what do you think of the old strategy of, you know, build it up and let the news outlets, you know, get excited? Like, that's something, that's a tactic that Blizzard has done for a long time. They don't jump into World of Warcraft and update a shaman. They dam up their content release and then let it burst at the seams, so everyone goes, whoa, look at all this stuff.
I've never really liked it. I feel like if you're a regular player, I would be surprised if any like daily weekly player would like that. Personally, I think if you are occasional visitor that spouts opinions off to Kyle on stream, you would probably love that
because it brings you back. And yeah, that's where the money's made.
Yeah.
And that's where we've found ourselves in this bizarre market where often you bring people back, present them with frustrations that can be countered with money, and then they leave sooner because they didn't have that goal. I've talked about this many times, but the idea of buying any card backs in a game or card packs in a game is insane to me because I'm paying to reduce my investment and how long I'll spend in your game. But I totally get the system.
Well, yes. Everyone else is buying, Kyle. Good luck winning games.
Well, yeah. If you have a decent free-to-play system, like, you know, Magic the Gathering Arena's draft is really good. I get cards I want from there with my free currency, and then I take that deck and I work on it and evolve it myself. Like, that's a much slower process, something I enjoy. I totally get the person who has the cash to burn, values their time in a different way, is probably the better way to say it. And they bim bam buy the deck they want, play it, and then leave when they're done. So you know how we can get out of this? We can just enjoy a bit of Schadenfreude. We just kind of move on from this conversation, our frustrations, and we place them all on one individual who probably has nothing to do with Heroes directly.
Other than, I'm sure, casting a Eye of Sauron style gaze and malaise and sadness across everything he touches.
Exactly.
Bobby Kotick's pay has been halved.
Celebrate, internet. We did it. No, the shareholders did it. They wanted to make sure that he was motivated, it seems, is probably the shortest way to put it.
Yeah, which, not sure a motivated Bobby Kotick is something I want in the world.
It's a punishment. It's an agreement made by the shareholders to cut his salary by 50%. Of course, anybody kind of with background knowledge of how CEO funding and money works, it doesn't mean a ton because bonuses can still come in huge amounts, which have also said to be cut in 50%. But someone with that much money, a lot of their money comes from investments and other sort of trickery that we can only begin to imagine.
Yeah. What a shame, Kyle. Kyle, I'm only going to make $875,000 this year.
It's pretty rough, man.
How am I going to get by?
Why did they always, in movies anyway, we always see them buying those big houses that are kind of flat on both sides with the glass all around in the mountains above LA.
It's a very modern style.
Yeah.
If we want to go down this road, it's because it instantly tells you, oh, it's a new house.
That's true.
It's modern.
I'd buy a Victorian house. I really like those with the copper roofs and all that. Those are cool.
Yeah. This is widely reported. It's on PC Gamer. I believe Wowhead actually is credited as the first website to notice this in some articles coming out of Activision. Dude's been target of ire of gamers for quite some time. I think in a lot of ways, rightfully so. This isn't going to affect us, and sure doesn't seem like it's going to have that big of an effect on him.
No, this is basically a, I don't know how you want to say it. You know, I guess we'll go back to the dam a little bit. You know how at the bottom of the dam, there's just water blowing out, and somewhere in there it turned gears that made power. Like, the amount of water blowing out is still the same. It's just some of it goes into the river of Bobby. I don't think we then deviate those rivers and go, the pay is cut in half. Heroes, here you go. Diablo, here you go. Like,
Yeah, it's I find celebration of stuff like this kind of strange. Like, yeah, like I go, haha, you deserve it. But also it's just like people still got fired. It's not like this came with follow up like, and they're going to rehire all those people with that money. Like, no. Still lost a lot of folks in esports.
It's a fascinating sphere, though. Like, after the Jeff Kaplan leaving, was that last week or was that earlier this week?
My God.
No, we didn't talk about
roller coaster. Yeah, that was last week. That was weird. Did you see that letter? It was like,
it was weird because it had no punctuation.
Here's a bunch of paragraphs from the new guy. And here's like three sentences from Jeff.
Yeah. And it was kind of like cyberpunky in that, like, never forget where you've been, down with the man kind of way. Like, but also it had like no periods and no capitalization. So it's almost like he sent it in text. Like he was already out the door, you know, everything already gone from his office. And they're like, crap, we need a statement. He's like, play well with each other. Enter. I loved my time. Enter.
I wish that man well. I like Kaplan a lot.
He was a leader. He inspired a lot of people and was willing to put up with the trolls and tell them to their face. And I really enjoyed his personality influence there. But that combined with this Bobby thing has led to a lot of people coming out of the woodwork with like independent stories. Like, oh, I know this. I know this Blizzard, or I know this Heroes dev, or someone I know left the team. And there's a lot of hearsay out there right now.
I too have heard things and as such will not remark on this.
Yeah.
I'll take these remarks no further.
Well, because they're hearsay. Like maybe they're true. Maybe they're not. Right? Or maybe they're perspectives of people outside the team. Like, I mean, I've thought people are mean only to realize they're passionate and actually they're really nice in person. But you know, when they get into it, they look mad. So if you walked by the meeting boardroom of Heroes and you're like, whoa, That guy's kind of a dick. Like, maybe not. Who knows?
Maybe. Shall we talk about things we learned from CCL this weekend?
Yeah. Let's get. We'll table all that, and we'll loop back around to the best place to talk about here is, which is theory, and what we can learn from very, very good play.
Choose a talent.
Talent? Ah, that seems generous.
I have a PhD in PvP.
All right. So we had the Icebreaker tournament over the weekend, and Tychus could sometimes work.
Yes, Tychus did a little double soaking, which was pretty interesting. This is a W build Tychus, so not a huge, huge surprise there. But if you have a weaker lane opponent on something like maybe even Tomb of the Spider Queen in this particular instance, you can just sort of put an assassin up there and let them do all the soaking for you as long as they have the decent lane clear, which Tychus is able to bring with things like Melting Point, the grenade range, which allows him to tag some minions that he otherwise wouldn't be able to hit, which, of course, getting the killing blow means he gets the XP. So we are, of course, going to, over the course of CCL with some really cool minds, like we talked about last week with Baja, get to see some evolutions of what soaking means, who is in the four-man rotation. But right now we're gleaming very weird and broken things. This happens a lot in video games. There might be a matchup in an esports event that doesn't really matter. So the two do really weird things. This was the Icebreaker tournament. So everything we take from it might be wrong, might be made up just for the sake of not doing their main strategy, which they'll show this weekend, perhaps.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that we still can't pull certain strategies from it, right?
No, like, but like there was this bet, I think it was Oxygen made a bet that they could win, that a player would get a Lili, an Oxygen tattoo if they won a game with Lili or something like that. So Lili was in like every game for that team, even though they'd never run Lili except for these very specific situations. So some of it was a little thrown, but when you get down to the raw numbers of what we saw over the course of the exhibition matches and the Icebreaker tournaments, we have some stats and basically they match exactly what we're all kind of feeling in our Storm League, which also makes sense because if you're not going to show anything new but you want to win, why not just copy what's working?
Yeah, that's a good way to good way to put it. And again, with the obvious asterisks of as long as it's something that does translate to our at-home games, right? Although at the moment, I don't know. Try whatever you want, because other people are going to anyway. But
a bit of a defeatist message, but not. How about have fun? How about have fun? Do what's fun.
Yeah, yeah. I guess a more constructive way of saying that is like the things that don't require other people to be on the same page as you. Take away lessons that can be solo executed.
And I really like I can't spout it enough just how fun and enjoyable doing something like NGS is. And that season is coming to a close. It's in the playoffs right now. You can look forward to the next season. Sign up, get with your friends, find a party through their search features. Like that is always been the joy of World of Warcraft for me, when I know everybody on the team and when someone shows up and I got a new belt and I'm like, good for you, because your DPS is bad, but I love you and I want your DPS to be better. I love that you got a new belt.
I don't know how you could apply any of that to heroes.
Well, you, no. If you're like, oh man, if you were on my team, Garrett, and you came to me and you're like, oh, I played Hogger all weekend. Possibilities just open. I don't have to play Hogger anymore. That's not a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, I am excited for your practice, and that's when team based games are truly amazing. Like our Valheim. Like when Chad would message us and be like, hey, I've got all the iron you could possibly want for all your armor. Sick. You enjoyed your time farming. I get iron outfits.
Yeah, I do feel inherently guilty about that.
A little guilty. Yes, yeah, he did farm excellently.
That was a lot of grinding. But yeah.
But we beat Valheim, by the way. We did it. It's over.
Yes, but back to heroes. Back to heroes.
Yes. So assassins, sign yourself up for the big surprise. But actually, you know, a little interesting in that Cassia was very, very top in participation in games played, win rate in that environment. Not as popular as some others, of course, but popularity also factors in things like bans, because we look at something like Sonya, Uther, 97% popularity. But a lot of that was, of course, bans, not actually playing the game. So when we look at games played with a really solid win rate, we can see something in assassins like Cassia, 62% win rate. She is absolutely still here to stay. If you're not practicing Cassia, you're taking something lesser. It's very real. You need this in your roster.
Yeah. And this kind of, I mean, even though it's something like we already knew, it's good to have the affirmation, right? Because the meta has evolved somewhat. But seeing that Cassie is still top of the block in the right hands, that's an important thing to have confirmed. As we've all been sitting in the background learning our hoggers and, you know, maybe picking up a taunt Varian. Like, it's good to know that certain things are indeed still good.
Well, and next up is Sylvanas, which is kind of a surprise to me because she's not really restricted by map anymore, like we used to think of back in the HGC days. She's just everywhere and solid, and mind control as well as the silencing arrow, both good and fine.
Uh-oh, does that mean we're not going to see you play Sylvanas because you're afraid that someone's going to say, you should have went the other heroic?
No, you know, I realize that there's probably something more binary that I haven't yet discovered about the Sonya situation. Like, there's probably, you know, the Murky is always pushing her, the Asmodan is always pushing. So Sonya, take the
grass. Do you want my emotional out on Sonya?
Okay,
let me give you my emotional out. So we had that talk with Tom Peace. Gave us like a quick guide on Sonya. And Tom Peace said, it really boiled down to, and Tom Peace, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I took away from that and filed away in my brain is the quickest way to know whether I should leap or whether I should wrath is, do they have an answer for your leap? Do they stack stuns? Do they have a healer that can save your target? You probably don't want to leap. You probably want to go wrath, and you want to poke down and win the attrition fight. Now, do you want my emotional armor?
Sure.
For doing what I damn well please. I tend to leap over wrath even when I'm pretty sure wrath is the right answer, because I don't trust my team to make anything happen. And I think it's on me. The only chance of us actually getting anything done is an effective Sonya deleting someone. That's your emotional out to go leap when wrath was probably the right call.
Okay.
And then I just mute everybody and give them the finger in my brain.
Well, I do think Sylvanas is a little easier because mind control is often about just killing Garrosh. And there's usually not a lot of other heroes that you're going to use that on beyond Garrosh.
And you're probably not going to miss on Garrosh.
Yeah, that too. That too.
Probably.
You get him out of position. He gets very weak to that sort of thing. You do a lot of damage on Sylvanas, but that's mainly it. Like, just like Cassia here. Sylvanas is in our top pick rates and top win rates in those categories because she just does a lot of damage. Now, that's also games played. Her win rate is a little bit lower, 43% in fact, but she's still just seeing constant games being picked up and not as big of a ban rate. So understandable. Now she's open. Next up would be Tychus, 46% win rate, but also doing things like double soaking, taking on these other jobs. And I've heard some interesting things about him over the course of the week, such as he's always Odin, which you might be familiar with. That's just kind of the way it is right now. I think it's interesting. I think there's probably some arguments for Draken Laser, but Odin is how you recover from having to early pick Tychus because you're trying to hold on to your other picks and you pick an assassin early.
Well, and it just, it really, especially in organized play, it laser seems difficult to get value out of.
Yeah. Just, and the siege potential, like you take a team fight hero who really makes a cool choice at level four. You basically decide, are you going to set up your team by lowering everybody's health, the bigger they are, or are you going to full-blown delete the Sonya Malfield Diablo from 100 to 0 over the course of this less mobile fight that's about to happen? And then you have Master Assassin, which has gotten picks and has, well, very low pick rate, but a 100% win rate because it actually works in Odin, which I learned this week. So passive increased Tychus' attack speed by 10%.
I am learning that now.
Reward after hitting or getting 15 takedowns, Tychus' attack speed is increased by an additional 15%. So if you're doing Siege Odin, which is the whole point, you know, you get zoned out, your health gets low, you pop into Odin, or you need it for the Unstoppable or what have you. Most Odins are being used just to make a lot of Siege, which is why we're seeing so much big red button. Compared to something, I mean, that's 91% pick rate in the CCL. That's all about siege damage. No one's going to stand in that in a tournament play. No one's bad enough to stand inside the splash of the bomb that drops after the fact. But you increase your attack speed during that, and you're just going to burn through some buildings.
That's good to know. Interesting focus on just burning through buildings in general, right? With the Sylvanas as well. You're very focused on the heroic there, but her trait is still very effective.
Yeah, that really speaks to the limited window of time you have after a kill, really all the way up to 16, to get anything done on the map. And if you possess the power to actually get rid of that fort and get that edge you're looking for. Because the camp's not going to do anything because they're going to manage their lanes.
It's an interesting thought. Remind me on another episode that we're not already an hour in to pull on the thread of, do we need longer death timers sooner in the game?
Yeah, it is an interesting one. I think we're seeing a lot of prolonged objectives, and now we're seeing that issue with All Track Pass where everyone is avoiding the early take. This is getting kind of weird in my home games as well, because of course CCL players are practicing, they're playing the ladder, so I have a lot of CCL players in my home games. And when it comes to Alterac Pass, they try to delay the objective for as long as possible. Like, the tank won't go to it, the healer won't go to it if they're in the know. But eventually some Malfiel or someone walks over there, clears all the little minions, takes the objective, and it gets taken, which is bad because you want it to get to a certain minute mark so it's a better objective to win in the first place. But at the same time, we're in an uncoordinated environment where nobody manages the lane, so forts get lost when they shouldn't be, and we're not reflecting. It's not like the Volskaya thing where the robot's weak. We literally aren't reflecting what the tournament players are doing with Alterac Pass in our home games because we don't counter it correctly by soaking all those lanes.
Right, it's pickup games where we're impatient. We want to fight things.
And then the bell is ringing and the arena is set around the objective, and it's fun to do. Well, Next up is Hanzo.
Okay.
This is a very high win rate here at 69%. and would be getting into the much, much lowers of popularity here with 37%. But this is our final assassin we will talk about, of course. And after that, we go into Leeming, Chromie, and other sort of lower win rate, but very popular heroes.
Makes sense. I saw you on Hanzo this week.
That was fun. I had a good time. And I had an easier game, of course, because we had a Butcher, May, and yourself on Leap, where I didn't have to be that good at aiming to actually connect.
Yeah, but I felt like you were downplaying your Hanzo skills. I was impressed.
Oh, well, thank you.
I was impressed. I thought you were doing well. Although Hanzo is probably like number one hero I will never play. His kit eludes me. I find him hard to utilize.
It's a lot easier when you do a explosive arrow kind of dragon arrow build rather than the scatter arrow, because that requires like the setup and the thinking about it. I've also been playing a lot of Hogger, so like getting a quick angle put together for my scatter arrow is very easy now. Those skills have translated. But it's way, way, you can even do redemption at one, which is more of an auto attack build, which is a lot slower, but also fun.
Really just struggle with that wind up on his queue and like moving while doing it. And it's just my brain. It just can't handle it.
Sure. It's a very different skill.
Yeah.
Let's talk about bruisers.
Oh, yeah. So Sony Hogger, we just get those out of the way, right? I mean, honestly, I think we can get all the bruisers out. Sony Hogger, Diva, Rexxar. I don't think there's anything new there.
Not really. There's a little bit of Deathwing, of course, below that, Leoric, but then we're kind of getting into drafts that are actually tanks on the side. And then we could even say, next up is Urel. Congratulations, Liam, on playing a lot of Urel. Like, there are heroes that people main and they make them work, but we're not exactly going to take that home with us.
The Bruiser CCL meta really translates to the at-home meta. Which is interesting. I mean, it just confirms, I think, what we already know and we've already talked about on past episodes, which is like bruisers are hot right now. Bruisers are probably over-kitted in what they can do. And it shows.
Yeah, but it's a great evolution. And I still think, you know, despite our length in this meta, it has been a very healthy meta because the bruisers and soakers are as fun to play as the ranged assassins.
I agree. I think if we were going to be stuck in a meta for a long time, I'm glad it's this one. Of course, I'm sure some of you listening are like, of course you like it, Gary. You like these heroes. But again, it was quite disappointing this week to lose on these heroes. So that's a double-edged sword. But yeah, no, of metas, what it feels like the longest meta we've ever had. I'm glad it's this one and not double support.
Yeah, or double tank. Yeah. Tank. Like, there have been some gross ones in the past. But let's move on to the... let's breeze through the tanks, because there's maybe two surprises in here. We talked about May, we talked about Diablo. You know them, you love them. They're everywhere. ETC and Johanna particularly ETC is out. Johanna's doing fine, but she's usually used to recover from a low lane clear draft. Beyond that, it's a Nubarak because of his ability to get picks and hide in bushes, which, of course, no one's going to complain about when you're in comms in a tournament. The tank should be in front. No, the tank should be very much hidden because they'll get pinged down by Rainer if they show their face. But
Now you have my attention.
With a Nubarak, you want to play more Nubarak?
I always want to play more Nubarak.
Well, I think if you kind of master that bush style, it's perfectly acceptable. And there's things like Li Ming's, of course, in our home games that are still countered by Beetle builds. Nothing wrong with doing that. Let's take a look here at some of the popularities of the talents. Leeching Scarabs is on top. Bed of Barbs, of course, makes a lot of sense in that environment. Yeah, I mean, this is mostly a Beetle build, other than Epicenter. So some of our builds get kind of, I don't know if you call them ugly, but the pictures aren't all pretty in lineup when you get into tournament play, because they just simply are willing to go for other things.
Yeah, I think with the Nubarak, it kind of got, Beetle build was buffed what feels like forever ago now, right? And we haven't really messed with them. So it would make sense that it would stay good, but also like a Nubarak's kit is good enough out the gate. You don't really need to make it better. So why not make your your random damage more effective.
You know, I just realized, and this isn't the biggest reveal in the world, but AZ Jackson's balance strategy was to give those big bombastic updates, something new, a new toy each go. And broken or not be damned, of course, like Echo Pedal. No, not Echo Pedal. Amp? Shoot.
Oh, I'm pulling it up. I don't remember the name of this one either. That would have been called... It is... No, not Echo Pedal. Oh my God. What the hell was it?
It's an amp! It's an EGC thing!
It's an amp!
I'm going to it
it's
too.
It's Encore!
Encore was broken. It was insane. It was nuts. Right. It was very fun to play with. And I wonder if the Falstad update and its longevity was supposed to be like that. You know, that's the way the New Balance designer was taught to give gifts. It's just that the gifts were supposed to follow month to month and clean up the previous gifts a bit. So we found ourselves in an interesting situation of changing philosophies.
That was some top-notch fake real-time conversation, Kyle.
Beautiful. Yeah, we faked it. We're going to edit it out.
Yeah, no, it actually says right here in the script, forget the name of Encore and hold for a minute.
Yeah, because we need to prove we're human to everybody. We're such amazing players. Beyond Anubarak, which is doing that sort of Beetle Bill but hide in bushes sort of thing, you have Taunt Varian, which is definitely being seen at home. We see a lot of Taunt Varians. If you have a Varian at home and they want to do the solo lane for the first four levels, you let them. I know it's complicated to then trade them out, but Varian does okay in there and will suffer being the front line for the four man until he gets that taunt.
What if the opposing team has a Tychus to counter the Varian?
Well, then that's exactly what happened in the CCL Icebreaker.
Yes.
And that would be a very good decision of the enemy team to do that. But luckily it only lasts till four, and I guess at least your parry works on auto attack. So would you have something to watch.
Would you tell the Varian to safety soak, or would you enjoy the awkward early Varian and swap your solo laner up to Varian's lane? Home gate, by the way. Not an NGS.
Yes. Oh, okay. Safety soaking is something that Varian can do by himself, so that is recommendation number one. Otherwise, you have to go down the road of, do we have less lane clear than the enemy team? In which case, if the Varian's on the team with the less lane clear, your team is team fight oriented and should be ganking Tychus constantly at the sacrifice of XP, because when Tychus is dead, he's not double soaking anymore. So it's worth killing Tychus with all four, five people in this case to stay at equilibrium at this stage of the game.
But it's dangerous because it's a fail state, which is not getting the kill on Tychus, and thus you are punished by the XP loss.
Exactly. And then Tychus at no health throws grenades out from behind the wall and is still accomplishing his goal, whereas you have all rotated for no reason.
Gotcha. Very cool. Let's talk healers.
Healers. You know him, you love him, at least Brightwing. We all love him. And, well, Brightwing's doing great.
Loves murder.
Yeah. But when it comes to our next hero, you might be a little surprised that it's Lucio with high five by a huge percent.
I've seen Lucio is broken at ATM thrown around in chats this week.
Yes. High five has a 90% pick rate in the CCL so far. 29 okay. games played, or well, this would be 32 games played. 29 of those are high five.
What happened? Because this is an evolution. This is a meta evolution during a meta that hasn't changed.
Mostly, it's just unstoppable. You have a real. I'm searching for my best low tier curse word. Jerk. You've got a real jerk of a character zooming around, and now it brings a bunch of unstoppable and instant heals.
I'm surprised you didn't say butt. That seems to be your go-to.
I needed stronger than butt.
Okay.
Because there's a difference. If I said, oh, I've got this butt Lucy on me, what's he doing? Like maybe pushing me back towards my base once in a while? But when you have a jerk Lucio on your business, ugh.
Yeah. Okay. So go high five. That is also seen in the home game. Although... Yep. So here's the funny thing. All right, let me go most recent patch. I'm over on Hot Slugs. I'm going to switch it over to 2.53.2. High Five is only picked 26% of the time. That means Sound Barrier is getting 73% of the picks. Sound Barrier's win rate is 49%. What do you think High Five's win rate is?
Oh, I guess I can't just do simple math, right? Yeah, because it's different than that.
It is different than that. Popularity, yeah, would be subtraction, but it's just unique values.
I have no idea.
57% win rate on High Five.
Okay.
Not a lot of players taking it. A lot of the players that are taking it are winning.
Well, we also have to make the distinction again about home play, where Sound Barrier hits the many people that are being hit by many things, whereas High Five Unstoppable is one person who is being completely dove and isolated in our tournament play. That's so true. High Five will just be the better ult in that environment.
Yeah, but also, I mean, think about how many times you're in a game at home and you really just need to save one person.
Oh, totally true. I had games this past week where Lucio into Zul. That's a bone prison. And that set up a lot of fights. A simple High Five would have changed that battle dramatically.
Mm. Yeah. Beyond Lucio, Malfurion and Deckard.
Yep, Malfurion and Deckard. Now, Deckard is probably not doing anything you're not already accustomed with. Just hanging out by people casting potions. Deckards do have an interesting trick up their sleeves in that he has armor when he's hanging out by others, which means that Deckard does the tanking when it comes to like bosses and mercenary camps because his health is effectively higher than his allies. A little tricky. Yeah. You're not going to be on Alterac Pass at home and be like, guys, stop, let Deckard tank. But that is what you should be doing on Deckard.
Well, it's a good thing. Now, if you're the Deckard, now, you can step up.
Well, and that's why you might look at a Deckard's build and say, why are you going Potion of Shielding? Ruby and your other tools are amazing. Why would you ever do this? Well, because shielding plus armor means Deckard tanks bosses and stuff at greater efficiency than anyone else around him. So that old math thing. But if you can still do an old stay a while, listen, root combo, that's exactly what you should be doing. You should stack on top of it maybe a Sapphire for the bonus slow. That's a 92% popularity pick in the CCL. So big slow, land the sleep, put him in the root. It's a pretty easy combo to do. Let's think about Malfurion, though, for a moment.
Yeah, is this is it because of Emerald Dream? Is it because of the new level one that sleeps at the end of roots?
It's, yes, it is good. It also, of course, empowers, you to put a heal on the Genji and Tracer and whoever else you might have to go fart off and do what they want. And you keep healing them, but 100% popularity on Emerald Dream. Every game, 61% win rate for the guy.
We ran into it a few times just in our session yesterday. It's terrifying.
It lacks counterplay by the usual means. I was Zul'jin in that particular game you're talking about, and I couldn't do Voodoo Shuffle because all I would do is put myself to sleep faster. So it was basically more advantageous for me to sit through the route and attack and get some stacks at least, rather than sleeping immediately.
Yeah. Again, I go, was that an AZ Jackson patch? I was about to make an offhand comment. Of all of the things that AZ Jackson could have left on, I think there are some more powerful, painful things he could have, that we could have been stuck with for a while. But
no, I believe this is the new designer. This would definitely be one of those toys like Encore that we can point at and say, maybe this toy wasn't meant for an extended stay. Like our Christmas decorations, we enjoy them, but they're not supposed to be out all year.
Are you taking shots at heroes at the moment intentionally?
What, with the Christmas analogy? Yeah, it's such low hanging fruit, dude. Like, I feel bad even doing it. Like, it's not a big deal. It's just the boxes, but it's right there, and it's so easy. It's like you're tall enough to smack the top of a door when you walk by. You shouldn't. You're an adult. Yeah. But you're going to high five that door frame because you can.
Why are we jerks to our wives? Because we both have extremely short wives.
What? Why are we being jerks for wives?
Oh, because anytime I do that, Katie just kind of looks at me like, did you do that because I can't? I'm like, well, no, but now that you mentioned it, I feel bad.
Oh, no, I don't go down that road, man. Kristen's a bulldog, man. You don't mess with that. You don't go down that road. She's heard it all, and she's ready to throw down.
That's okay. Anyway, sorry. One more joke. Maybe they're going for Christmas in July, Kyle.
Right, like the cars before them. Yes, it's so easy. I know we're frustrating the devs, but guys, it's so easy. I'm sorry. It's a faux pas that has been around for ages. They literally made an entire movie about it called Nightmare Before Christmas. Like, it just, put away your decorations.
Yeah, let's do that.
Anyway,
so back to the Malfurion. The one we saw was Bush Malfurion. Because roots were showing up under me that I thought I was safe from, because I never saw a Malfurion. The Malfurion is being sneaky. He was hiding in the bushes, and it was really working. So many different heroes have now become bush assassins. I feel like the weirdness started with Deathwing, with heroes we don't think of as needing to hide, and now we've ended up on Ninja Malfurion.
Yeah. I mean, he could do with hiding in a bush here and there. Did he ever do anything? Spoiler alert for World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft?
He turned into a bear, right? And yelled at that orc's face or a troll's face or something, right? Did anything ever come of that? Malfurion getting mad?
He also killed the one orc with roots in an Evil Dead fashion.
We kill people all the time as World of Warcraft players. So we were supposed to be impressed by his one kill?
That was mostly the setup for the dark... or the is it Darkshore? Yeah, the Darkshore Warfront. And warfronts were the most beloved thing at a BFA.
Absolutely.
Yeah, everyone just didn't have enough nice things to say about why I can't keep this bit going anymore. No, not really.
What was the other thing called? Strongholds? What was the other thing called that everybody loved so much that Fortnite'd into, but it wasn't multiplayer?
Fortnite, that was Warfront.
Oh, that was a Warfront. Wait, so Darkshore had a Warfront?
There were more than one war fronts. There were also islands.
Oh, yeah, the islands too. I left.
Those were boring.
Yeah.
Those were real boring. We did a few of those with Scott.
We had an okay time, racing the clock. But man, that gets out back to an interesting and another system issue with video games that they continue to try to make infinite systems rather than kind of content. But again, growing pains during a fascinating time in human history.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, watch out for Bush Malfurions.
Yes, and because of Emerald Dream's setup and execute power, and because sleeps are guaranteed stuns for a time period, they're actually locked down for long enough to complete the kill in tournament play. So Tranquility and Twilight Dream have an exact 50-50 split on popularity, 61% win rate, as all the talents, would in this case. Because you can do both, you don't need Twilight Dream every single game, because Emerald Dream does the lockdown and setup for you, because functioning like a stun, they're not going to cast anything anyway.
Makes all the sense to me.
So that's the basic rundown. We could do it in the negative if we really wanted to, but you probably wouldn't be very surprised at this point. Guess what? Zul'jin. Well, that might be a little surprise, but here, let me jump ahead a little bit. Illidan Nova not doing so hot in the CCL and very low participation. One thing you might be shocked by is Asmodan simply doesn't get to play and nobody really cares. He had one game and lost it. Split pushing and dropping a horde of demons on top of a coordinated team isn't really going to do anything.
I look at Asmodan and I just go, why wouldn't you do any of the other clearly superior lane picks?
Right. And if you wanted to burn buildings, you could be Sylvanas or Falstad right now.
Right. Right. There's better options for that. Even Falstad not going the build that's banned, the banned build can still do some serious damage to structures. So... yeah, that doesn't... Asmodan doesn't surprise me at all. Nova doesn't surprise me at all. There's no shockers there.
Now, I've got something completely useless for your home games to tell you about. This is not in regards to the CCL, but it's something that happened in my game last night for NGS, and this was main tank Aurel. It works. The point of it is your Diablo without charging into Garrosh. It's a Garrosh counter.
So you're just, whipping the Garrosh in the walls?
Or anything. Level 4 heavy burden. Detainment strike slows enemy heroes by 20% for 2.5 seconds. The slow duration is doubled if it stuns. So every time Garrosh gets close to main tank Aurel, you just say no, whip him away. And then he's slowed and it ruins his whole engage. And should he get a hold of you as main tank Aurel, you have Aegis, Crystal Aegis to jump into. You've got Searing Light to drop on top of yourself. You take Glimmer of Hope, so you have you maintain 75% of your Ray of Heaven energy, so you can do another heal on the other side. You basically play in Garrosh's face, and main tank Aurel is a thing, and there's a chance it's going to happen in the CCL.
All right, I know you led with this is not for our home games, but this is where I do just want to go. But can I?
I mean, I think you...
I mean, maybe not me, but maybe someone who's already adept with Aurel.
There are going to be early game deaths here on the way to things like Heavy Burden 4. I think that the tilt power is probably too deep. But it's a very interesting evolution on a hero that doesn't get to see a lot of play right now. And oftentimes when we take Aurel in a healer role, we have to contend with too much poke on the enemy team. But by Aurel actually being in the face of the enemy team, she makes her energy anyway. So we could see out of this evolution in a very odd way, over-aggressive Aurels, which I know our friend Deribo loves to play and gets his hope no matter what's on the enemy team. But a lot of Aurels are very passive.
So maybe not a bad thing for people to try at home, because it would definitely make you more aggressive or at least more forward and give you the chance to be a self-hope generator.
Very true.
Just a thought. Just a thought. Anyways, yeah. Well, that's cool, man. It's an interesting mix of things that we can bring to our home games and things that we can't. And the deeper we get into the CCL, the more when I think about the days of HGC... I think current competitive heroes translates much more directly to our games at home than HGC ever did, which I like and I find fascinating.
That is true. They're also living on the same patches as us. That was something we requested for a long time for HGC, regardless of the players' kerfuffles, that it might be frustrating to suddenly change up your whole strategy for a weekend. We're right there with you. Don't play on old patches. Let it happen.
Yeah. That was always so frustrating. If anyone's listening that wasn't around for the HGC days, they used to play like a patch behind the live game. And it was really frustrating as fans that were currently playing the game, because it felt like if there was anything to learn, it didn't really matter, because the meta at home was not the same as the meta, or the game at home wasn't the same as the game being played on screen. So yeah. We don't have to worry about that anymore. So. Plus, at this point, I mean, the patches stay around for so long. This is not a dig. It's just a fact that I don't think we'd be at the risk of that being a factor.
No, but we are due for a patch in the middle of the CCL here. And all signs do show with breadcrumbs and all that it's going to be a big one. And there should be some shakeups. But for now, your home game is the right meta. But let's see this weekend what happens. And if anybody whips out anything interesting, we'll be sure to report next week.
Well, folks, I think that's going to bring us to the end of this episode. I would always invite you to write in itncast@gmail.com. If you got a question and you're a patron, you can skip the inbox entirely and go directly to our Discord. Again, reminder, our patron bonanza is next week, so go and sign up for that. If you want to support us, speaking of the Patreon, you can do so over at patreon.com/ITN. We also really want to thank our Patreon producers. So a big thanks to Declan H, Cheesy Bob, Chris K, and Sean B. Got one more producer slot left. If you would like it, check out patreon.com/ITN. We are typically live Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern time right here at twitch.tv/amovetv. The Twitter is at ITNcast, and amove.tv is where you can go to find the back catalog of Into the Nexus episodes. So if you missed something, you want to go back and listen to it, there you go. Other than that, Kyle, dude, when you're not ITNing with me, where can people find you?
You can find me doing a lot of Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition content right now, as both the seasons of There Will Be Dungeons Delvers and DMGI, DM Gives Inspiration, are active right now. DMGI is in its 8th season. You can check out Player Strongholds and Housing, as it's a whole thing for the DM to handle and players to hopefully not be overwhelmed by. Building a house is in your imagination. They're tricky with imaginary funds and all that sort of thing. So check out that episode, but certainly check out the first episode of season 2. There Will Be Dungeons this past weekend. Very proud of it and looking forward to another 11 episodes of that season.
Nice.
KyleFerguson.com.
Nice. Well, aimmove.tv is not just where you can find Into the Nexus, but you can find every podcast that I produce over there. I also want to give a shout out for my out-of-date freelance website, nomoonart.com. I have open commissions for one more week. I haven't had open commissions for a while, so if you need graphic design, you need a video edited, anything like that that's creatively involved, check out nomoonart.com, and you can contact me there and contract me there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quotable.
Yeah, the form still works. It goes straight to my my phone. Like, it goes to an inbox that's on my phone. I will see it. So if you need some work done, let me know. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of Into the Nexus. Until next time, good luck, have fun, and Merry Christmas in April.
Take care.